your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This is talking to husbands and wives. And the reason I'm starting out with husbands and wives is because, listen, if we don't start out with the core of the family, then the core can't take care of what flows out from that. And so if the husbands and wives don't grab hold of themselves and their marriage and their relationship and the way they take care of one another, you're going to teach your children to go out and do what you do. You're going to give your children the example that you set. And so, dads, if you abuse your wives, then guess what's going to happen? If you have sons, they're probably going to abuse their wives. And if you have daughters, they're going to find a man that will abuse them. And you go, that's crazy. No, statistics prove that is very accurate. Girls will find a dad that treats them like you treated your wife, because to them that's normal. It's expectant. It's they don't see much in themselves because, dad, you're a jerk and you're not showing them the beauty that they have by loving on their mom. And you go, I don't like that. Well, I'm sick today. I don't really care. I'm just kind of saying, you know, like my compassion and mercy is out the window this morning. I will repent later. And if I've offended you with truth, that's kind of for you to deal with. If I've offended you just because I was mean, that's for me to deal with. But I will repent later. Right now, I just want you to see the truth. And the truth is, mom and dad, your relationship to each other will absolutely determine your children's generation and your grandchildren's generation and so on. You think you don't impact anybody but your own home? That's foolish thinking. And mom, if you're not respecting your husband and you're not loving your husband the way you should be, you are just as much of a jerk as your husband is for not loving you and taking care of you. And we're going to see that in Scripture today. For those of you visiting, please come back next week. Milton will probably be the new pastor, and it'd be all right. it is, you know, crazy. 3:1. 1 Peter 3:1. Let's look at this. It says, wives, likewise, be submissive. Hold on, I got to get my eyes right. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. Let's just stop here for a minute. We're going to break this down. You know, if you listen to the media and you listen to the Women's Lib movement and the women's rights and the women's this and the women's that or whatever the women's movements are going on, if you listen to that, they will tell you, be submissive to your husband? No way. You are better. Women are better than men. And so all of a sudden what you have is you have this false teaching that women are more superior than men. Well, I am so sorry, ladies, but you are not more superior than men. And men, I am so sorry, gentlemen, but you are not more superior than your wife. See, there's a thing that we are equal. We come into this thing equal, and we are to love each other equally. We are to take care of each other equally. And women, you are to submit to your husband, not because you are lesser than him, but because God designed the home a certain way. And if we follow God's design, man, we are going to have victory in our homes. And I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I'll say it as long as I'm the pastor here, and I'll say it every September and every October, and anytime in between it happens to pop into my brain. Here's how it goes. Here is the order of superiority, if you will, in the sense of who is to run things, but it's the way God has set it up. And the order is God. He is first. Then it is man, he is second, then it is women, and then it is children, and then it is dogs, and then it is fish and rats and hamsters, and it's anything but a cat that comes next. I'm just telling you, like, that is the order that God established authority. And he established the authority in the house. By the way, they had Oh, I ain't going there. It's so bad. I can't even go there. I was going to trash cat some more, but you can tell I'm sick. I'm having compassion. On cats only. But God established it, and he says, okay, listen, this is the way that authority flows, and if you keep it this way, your house is going to be grand. And somehow, some way, through time, women wanted more than what was theirs. And not, listen, I think if God created anything greater than women, he kept them for himself. Women are awesome. And you know what? The church couldn't run without you ladies doing what you do in this church. And we have ladies that they have position in the church and they're over ministries, and I don't see anything wrong with that. But I don't believe that a lady needs to be a pastor of the church. Why? Because God made it clear, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Some of you are going to go, I don't agree with it. I don't care. Argue with God. Let me know how it goes. God establishes this order, and when we follow the order he establishes, man, I'm going to tell you, there is joy when we do it God's way. When we do it our way, all of a sudden there is oppression, there is a heaviness, there is difficulties. Why? Because we're going against what God said to do, and especially if you are children of his, I'm telling you, he says, listen, if you're a child of mine, I will discipline you. If you're not a child of mine, listen, he lets you go to your own demise. But if you're a child, if you're a Christian, now not Christian by Christian's definition today, because today you have derelicts who deny the word of God to call themselves Christians. So I'm talking about those who really love Jesus Christ as their Savior, those who really believe Jesus died on the cross, those who really believe there's no other way to heaven except through Christ himself. That's a Christian. Okay, so just by definition, I want to clear it up. Wow, I don't sound too compassionate today, do I? It just dawned on me, I need a drink, and then water will have to do. I'm kidding, I don't drink. You understand where I'm coming from, don't you, brother? By the way, next month, October 2nd, will be 21 years that I have been clean, sober, drug-free, loving Jesus, 21 years. Just so you know, I was really—I don't drink. I'm just sharing that. So listen to me, ladies. Submit to your husband, because if you submit to your husband, listen. The Bible even says that man wasn't made for woman, but woman was made for man. But woman was made for man for a purpose. And the purpose was to, are you ready for this, ladies? This is going to make you feel good, because I want to make you feel good. This is, listen, women was made for man to complete him. Without you, we are incomplete. But there's still an order that we have to follow. Not because, ladies, not because you're less than, because I promise you, you are not less than. It's because it's what God said and the way it should be. And if you notice, when it's upside down, the household is upside down. So he says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. Ladies, if your wife is not saved, or your husband's not saved, you have to extend me grace today. Ladies, if you have a wife, you're living in sin. Just saying. I choked myself up. Ladies, listen, if your wives are not saved, if you're... I probably should have let you preach today, brother. See, the problem is I keep saying ladies, and then I look at the passage and it says wives, and I'm getting hung up. My brain is just on recycle. And ladies, if your husbands, and I'm starting to sweat, and I don't know if it's because I'm embarrassed or I'm sick. If your husbands are not saved, by your actions, you can get them saved. Not saying a word. just loving God, living for God, doing what's right, being holy, being righteous, you can win your husband. And I'm going to go a step further. Because, you know, some, I hear this a lot, and man, I am, ladies, I'm so sad for this, for you. But I hear this a lot, and ladies are like, I shouldn't have to be the spiritual leader of the house. The men should step up, and ladies, you are struggling to keep your children in the Word of God and in line with God. And men, you're being a jerk, and you're not carrying your end of it because you are the head of the household. And yet, the women are holding on and they're going, Pastor, I'm tired. I feel like I'm fighting this uphill battle. And Pastor, I'm just tired. And I think that not only will you win your husband, ladies, if you live righteous, but I think that you can bring them back if you live righteous. And you go, that shouldn't be my responsibility. And I agree. But when someone's not doing their job and the job needs to be done, we step in. Amen? And so ladies, hang in there. Hang in there. Hang in there. Don't worry, men. I'll get to you here in a minute. I won't leave you feeling too bad. Hang in there, ladies. So then he goes on, verse 2. He says, let's read it all, 3:1-2. It goes together. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they, and here's the conduct, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, and this chaste conduct accompanied by fear literally means this godly conduct accompanied by reverence and respect. Ladies, I'm not asking you to become less than your husbands. I'm not asking you to become doormats, and neither is God. He's asking you to become godly. To do what's right in the eyes of God, not the eyes of man. Forget this women's live movement, because I'm going to tell you what, they're poison. And ladies, they have got you convinced that you are greater than men and you're not. And they've got you convinced that you need to have a position that's not yours. They've got you convinced of all this stuff. And then if you decide to live godly and do what the Word of God says, and you do this in public in front of your friends, then they try to humiliate you and embarrass you and make you feel less than a woman for being godly. And please don't cave into that. Be godly and reverent. Respectful. Honor God with your lives to do what's right. And then men, as we get further in here, I'm going to tell you your job to help these ladies do their job. Because this isn't about one being more superior than the other. It has nothing to do with that. Yes, one leads the household and another follows, but I'm going to tell you all in all, you do it side by side. There is nothing, listen, I make decisions in my household the moment my wife gives me permission. I take the lead. No, well, you know, when there's decisions to be made, if God has given me clear word to do it one way, I'm going to stand on it and we're going to go. But it's going to benefit the whole family, not just me. And if there's anything that goes on, like we've got, it's not even an issue, it's just a matter of discussion whether we want to allow it or not allow it. And it's not ungodly or godly. It has nothing to do with that. It's just a decision we got to make. And so my wife and I have discussed it for the last 2 days. Now, I can just make a call and say yay or nay. And you know what? My wife would honor that. But we're a team. And so why do I want to do that? Why do I want to cancel my wife out of the process? Because I'm going to tell you, my wife walks with God. Why in the world do I want to throw that away? And so I discuss with my wife. Why? Because we're equal. Now, if she makes a decision, and I'm telling you, and I just know that it's not the right decision for whatever reason God showed me or whatever, and then I'm going to say, hey, wait a minute, hold on. You know what? I'm sorry, but we can't do that. And the most beautiful part about that is my wife honors that. And I try to honor her through the decisions I make. You see what I'm saying? Like, this is an equal partnership, guys, gals. Because today the ladies are running the household. And it's not that you can't do a good job, it's just that it's not God's design, and so therefore it's not going real well. I hear all the time ladies going, I just want my husband to take control, to lead the house. I just want him to do his job. Man, I find it so, you ready? I find it so sexy when he does. Men, women are looking for real men. Yeah, thank you. Ladies, I'm trying to help you here. That has nothing to do with Linda being single right now. She's like, amen, preach it, send them my way. Glory. Sorry. But when, hey, I need another drink. Amen, ladies, are you not looking for real men? Ladies? Amen. Yeah, I got one. And she looks at Linda going, whoo, sorry for you. Remember, extend me grace, I'm sick. Okay. Here we go. Verse 3. Ladies. He then goes in to tell you how you can do this. How you can be successful in not only winning your husband, and reverencing God and reverence and being submissive to him and respecting him, bringing honor to him, because that's what the Bible says to do. And then here's how he says to do it. Verse 3. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Now let me just tell you this. You shouldn't look like an old, run-down, tattered barn that hasn't been taken care of in 50 years either. You know what I'm saying? Like a little paint goes a long way sometimes. I think if ladies just highlight their beautiful features, it would be well. I think if they make sure all of the things that only the husband should be seeing should be covered, you would do well. You know, they actually took a poll in high school. Now, of all places in high school, juniors and seniors, they took this poll, and they asked the guys in the classroom, what kind of girl are you looking for? Now, girls, listen to me. Listen up. They asked the high school. Now, you think high school, they're thinking, woo, give me the one that I think. Yeah, you get what I'm saying. And so they asked the guys, and 93% of high school kids, boys, said, I want a conservative girl. I want her covered up. I want her nice. I want her to be living a life where I don't have to worry about what she's going to do next or who she's going to run off with next. I want a girl that I can trust. High school boys! How many find that shocking? All the high school boys. Think about that. Guys, what do you want? You want somebody you can trust. Not somebody that's going to create insecurity because she doesn't know how to dress appropriately or because she's dressing in such a way that she's drawing attention to herself. And you know why ladies dress that way? It's called insecurity. They're looking for their security in their looks. And I'm just going to tell you, I don't know if many of you have noticed this as time goes on, looks fade. Gravity takes over. Somebody say amen. I'm trying to be kind. When I met my wife, I was the man. Flowing hair. I got pictures to prove it. Amen. I had some nice hair, didn't I, sweetie? Woo! Like, she just loved to run her fingers through my hair and respect and honor me. Twenty-six years later, she looks at me and respects and honors me. She just goes, oh, you need to shave. It's getting rough. Things change. When we got married, I was 150 pounds. But I was lean and mean. Today, if you don't count the 8 pounds I've lost this past week, I am 200 plus pounds. And there is not much lean about the mean, I'm just saying. My wife, on the other hand, has never changed. She's as beautiful today as she was the day I met her and married her. She's awesome. Me, on the other hand, God help me. And if I wear makeup, you guys would laugh at me. So you are stuck looking at ugly. But ladies, don't let all this, don't get caught up in that. Understand that it's what's on the inside. It's what's on the inside. You know, we can make fun and have fun with the reality that looks fade. But man, what's on the inside? Ladies, do you love your husband? Do you respect them? Do you honor them? And I don't mean honor them as put them up as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because that's only Jesus' spot. Although if you'd like to put me right next to that, I'm happy, just so you know. Notice I looked at my wife, nobody else. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Verse 4, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart. Ladies, I'm going to tell you what really matters is who you are inside. And I can assure you that you could be the most beautiful woman anybody has ever laid eyes on. But if on the inside you are selfish and rude and nasty, you're arrogant, you are all about you, you are not kind, you are not loving, then I'm going to tell you, an old barn with no paint for the last 50 years, decrepit, falling down, has way more beauty than you do. And I'd rather have that than somebody looking as fine as anybody in the world and you're just nasty on the inside. And that's what God's talking about. So he says, for rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. What matters to God is not what you look like on the outside, but who you are on the inside. That is what matters to God. Ladies, don't sell yourself short. Some of you have insecurities because of your dad. Some of you have insecurities because of your mom or the relationship that you've seen or the relationship you've allowed to come into your life. And I'm going to tell you that is not who God intended you to be. That is not what God wants for you. He wants the best for you, but he says, man, if you're going to get the best, then you got to be real here. And you got to have a gentle spirit in you. And so that God, that's what honors God. And when you honor God, God honors you. And I just want to challenge you, ladies. Man, God has somebody for you if you'll wait on him. If you just be right, do right, love God, and wait on him, he will open a door and give you a man that will love you and honor you as God intended it to be. But if you get unequally yoked, and that's what that starts out in this passage, if you're unequally yoked, ladies, you're going to struggle because you have one worldview and they have another, because you have one thought process and they have another, which means you have one direction and they have another, and you're constantly trying to bring these two worlds together, and it's going to be a struggle. And 9 times out of 10, you doing all you can to hold on to the relationship, you're going to follow him, And if you're following somebody that doesn't know Jesus, you're walking away from Jesus. Ladies, I'm telling you, God loves you so much and you have so much going for you. Do it His way. And focus on the heart and who you are on the inside, not on the outside. Get rid of your insecurity by finding your identity in Christ. Amen? Verse 5. For in this manner in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. I find this really interesting because they put Sarah in there, and Sarah called her husband Lord, and he loved her. She loved him as if he was the Lord of her life, but not God of her life. Just, hey, this is my husband, and I'm going to be the wife that God has called me to be, and I'm going to do what God has called me to do, and I'm going to do it in such a way that I honor God. And I'm going to tell you, God makes it very clear that when you do that, God honors you. And not because, again, that your husband is more special than you. It's because you're being obedient and you're doing it God's way. And when you love your husband the way God says to love your husband, he will respond and he will love you the way you want to be loved. It happens. Why? Because that's the way God designed us. But look here. In 5, for in this manner, in former times, that's going back, he's saying in former times, Peter's saying in the Old Testament, who trusted in God also adorned themselves. And how did they adorn themselves? Isn't it crazy that Peter says the adorning, that they adorned themselves by loving their husband? They adorned themselves by loving their husband. And you go, what? You notice that's not putting on the makeup. That's not putting on fine apparel, putting on fine jewelry, doing your hair up until, how many remember the 80s when everybody looked like a poodle? And so, doing some of you remember that because some of you are going, that was me. It's not doing all that, but it's actually loving your husband, being submissive to the authority of your husband. And the Bible says that is adorning God. Think about that for a minute, ladies. I want you to hold your spot here in 1 Peter, and I want you to go to Genesis. It should be real easy. Just go to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Verse 6. I'm going to give you a beautiful example of what's happened here. Sarah calls her husband Lord, right? And Sarah loves her husband. And Sarah is in submission to her husband. Now, you can't be reading. You guys, listen, you don't go there to read until I read. Come on, look up here. Be with me. Let's all be one. Okay. We'll read it together in a moment, but you got to get this. Because see, if you're reading, you're not listening. Amen? Boy, I need to call some names out because you're still reading, and I'm telling you, I won't do it only because I'm not ornery enough today, I guess. All right, let's go and read this so everybody will have been there. Let's go. Genesis 18:6. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. You do that today, and the woman's going to go, why? How many's coming? Do you think 3 cakes are going to be enough? And why do you want me to do it right now? You know I ain't got that much stuff. I had that set aside for next week. And you want me to make it today? Why do you want me to make it today? And by the way, who's coming? And couldn't you give me some notice? A little bit of notice would have been good. No, you just expect me to jump and run? Well, I'm not going to just jump and run for you, buddy. Some of you are going, I'm seeing this right here. Don't nudge your spouse as I'm preaching. It's a horrible time. Right? Is it? Okay. I ain't even going there. How many know of somebody that would have acted that way? There you go. Amen. You know, I don't even want to know if it's you. I'm just asking a question. So Abraham hurries into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. And then you know what Abraham did? He ran out of the house. Right? Isn't that what it said? Wait a minute now. You guys think I'm kidding you? Verse 7, and Abraham ran. I'm just telling you. He said, make it real quick, and I need to. Okay. Smart man. That's why God chose him. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter. Look here in verse 8. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. And you go, who's them? Well, you remember, it's 2 angels and Jesus came to talk to him. And Abraham seen him coming off. And so he goes to Sarah and he says, Sarah, I need you to make this. And then he runs over and he does his part in making this dinner happen. And then when he does his part of the preparation, Sarah has done her part of the preparation. Who serves? Abraham. Did you guys get that? Men, did you get that? Here's what I find really interesting in this story. Rather than Sarah flipping out on him because he wanted something at the last minute and said, I ain't your maid. I ain't your... Right? Some of you laughing because you're going, yeah, buddy, I've been there. That's me. Okay. She didn't do that. You know what she did? What we see in the scriptures? She prepared it. Why? Because she had enough love and respect and trust in her husband that she didn't have to question his motives because they had a solid relationship. And she just knew, I'm going to submit to my husband because that's my place in this marriage. And we are a team. How do we know they're a team? He says, Sarah, I need you to prepare this. I'm going to go prepare this and I'll serve our guests. See, they understood each other. They loved one another. They had this relationship where they did. There was no distrust there. There was nothing in that relationship for Sarah to go, oh, he's up to something now, and I'm not going to be a part of it until I understand what's going on. She didn't do that. She did her part. He did his part, and they served the Lord. Do you see what happened there, guys? How beautiful is that? Do you see that God says, ladies, submit to the authority of your husband? But if you notice in that example, they're equal. It's just somebody has to lead the household, and God chose man to lead the household. Do you realize that anything with 2 heads is a monster and anything with no head is dead? Did you get that? Anything with 2 heads is a monster, and anything with no head is dead. And God understood that, and he said, listen, I made woman for man. Woman is going to complete man, and I am so thankful that I am completed. Amen. And so he says, I'm going to make woman to complete man. And once I do that, you guys are going to be a team. And we see this with Abraham. They're a team. And if you look in 8, in 6 we see Sarah doing her part. 7 we see Abraham doing his part. 8, so he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he, Abraham, stood by them under the tree as they ate, waiting to serve them, waiting to give what they want. And you go, well, how do you know Sarah wasn't there? Man, I love when you guys ask intelligent questions. Verse 9. Then they said to him, who's they? The angels. Jesus said to who? Abraham. Where is Sarah? Well, that would give you a great indication she's not standing there looking at him. Amen? And Abraham says, hey, she's in the tent. And then God honors them. See, guys, when we look at this, the world would have you to believe that women are to be servants of the man. But, man, when we really see it, we see that men and women, husbands and wives, you're a team. You serve together. You serve one another. You love each other. There's nobody above the other, but God says there's got to be an order. And here's the order. God, man, woman, child, dog, amoeba, cat. I mean, it's just like, this is the order. All right, I don't know about dog, amoeba, and cat, but it's pretty accurate. It's just not real biblical. So, when we look in Genesis, we see, and that's what Peter says, look at the old times. Man, one wasn't above the other. They served together. They both knew what they had to do, and they did their jobs, and they did it well, and they served together, and they served one another, and it was good, and God blessed. And I just want to challenge you, ladies, to do your part. Don't worry, I haven't left the men out. I want to challenge you, ladies, to do your part. Verse 7. Okay, husbands, you have a little more challenging of a job. I'm just saying. I know, and you ladies are going, I thought you were being fair. I am. 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. They came out with a book. And the book is about husbands understand, or how to understand a woman. Do we have a picture of that, John? I think we do. Guys, get the book. I want you to. Men, say amen. Help me out here. Look, you cowards. I only got one, and his wife isn't here. he's sitting there going, she never listens to Pastor John, and she's not here, so I'll amen that because I'm innocent. I'm sending her a copy of the tape. I'm just saying. this is so funny to me. I'm sorry. All right, take it down. Whew, that is hilarious to me, right? Because it's so true sometimes, because the man goes, honey, what do you want? You don't know. I've already told you. Oh, dear God, please bring back this conversation that I have no clue of. Amen. All right, man, how many have been there? Come on now. There you go. Because listen, if you don't raise your hand now, they're going to think that I'm lying and I need your help, because it's actually going to help you in the long run. And so, because women will go on this rant, and when they're done, they look at you like you understood it all, and you're sitting there going, can we have a 15-minute timeout so I can go seek wisdom from God, because I'm clueless to understand women. Man, that's a challenge, isn't it? And so when we look at this passage, we go, God, you're so unfair. You tell them to submit, but you tell me to understand. There is a problem, but let me help you with understand. Understand, and I needed help from a dictionary here, because I really want to get this right. Because I really want you to understand. understand your wife. Look. Let's read this again. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. That word understanding literally means with consideration. Husbands, have consideration for your wives. Think about them, not just yourself. They are not your doormat. Understanding speaks of being sensitive and considering the wife's deepest. Now, are you ready? Considering the wife's deepest emotional and physical needs. Did you notice Abraham? He became the servant. He didn't expect his wife to do everything. He considered her emotional and physical needs. And so he filled the gap. There's some of you here today. You are not loving your wife. You might say, I love my wife. But you are not loving your wife. You are not seeking to fulfill her desires. You're not seeking to make her feel secure. If anything, you're building more insecurity into her by not loving on her, by not making love to her, by not setting her up where she needs to be. You know, the Bible says that she is a weaker vessel. Not that she is less than anybody or less than you, but she's a weaker vessel. Physically, I'm going to tell you, strength-wise, the man, unless he's just an absolute wimp, is always... You guys get what I'm saying? Because look, there's some men, women that you look at their husband and he's like, hey, okay, let's go. Be the man, holy cow. That was sickness talking. Okay, I'm regaining. So, I'm just making myself laugh this morning. Forgive me. All right. Okay. You guys know I'm sick. All right. Don't even shake my hand after this. Some of you going, I don't plan on it. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, with consideration. It says understanding speaks of being sensitive and considering the wife's deepest physical and emotional needs. You know, I heard a saying where, as a matter of fact, a friend of mine, he's a pastor in Boston, and he was dating this girl, and while he's dating this girl and he wants to marry her, his dad said, son, I just want you to know, the woman you marry, she is a direct result of her father. The woman she becomes is a direct result of you. Think about that. Yeah, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? The woman you marry is a direct result of her father. The woman she becomes is a direct result of you. And I believe that. I have seen women who have been an absolute joy. The sweetest spirit, just an absolute joy. And she married a man who tore her down at every turn. She became incredibly heavy, incredibly overweight. She probably, in their time of marriage, she put on somewhere right about 100 to 120 pounds. She became a recluse. She would just stick her face in books and read them. And then when something came up, she would be usually a nasty response. She quit taking care of herself. She literally became a product of her husband. See, what I think we fail to realize is, husbands, you give your wife security. Wives, you give your husband a boldness, a sense of manhood that nobody else can give. Listen, when my wife tells me she loves me and that I'm the hero and I'm the man, and she can float my ego, it's okay. Man, I'm ready to fight hell with a water pistol, amen? Ladies, when your wife, God, Lord, you know my brain is on recycle or something. Lord, forgive me. Ladies, when your husband tells you how beautiful you are, how special you are, and they're not just words, but he actually makes you feel those words are true. You believe those words. Man, you're willing to stand beside him no matter what. Amen, ladies? Don't give that up. Ladies or men, don't give up. Recognize the power you have to influence your spouse and to help them become all that God intended them to be, because then they'll help you become all that God intended you to be. Don't give that up. Don't sacrifice that. Real quick, and then I'm going to finish. Verse 70 says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. And of course, that understanding literally means consideration. And then he goes on and says, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. You know what that is, guys? That's chivalry. Now, I know, ladies, you think chivalry's dead, but it's not. It's just hidden real deep inside of the man. Men, open the door for her. Compliment her. Do something special for her. Man, give her security back. Be the man that God has called you to be. And that is loving your wife. And then he goes on and he says, and as being heirs together. Heirs together. Do you realize that we are heirs together, heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, right? So heirs mean, literally here, air, not air that you breathe, but H-E-I-R. Yeah, okay, right? Did I spell that right? Yeah, okay. I got scared. And so, do you realize that if you're heirs, you're equal, right? Right? I mean, because you both have a part in it. You're heirs. You're equal. You're coming in together. You just both have a job to do, and that job may not be the same, but you're heirs. And that's what he's saying here. He says, men, you're no better than them. You're heirs. You're equal. Here we go. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, you're equal in God's sight. But then he says this, men. Look what he says here. That your prayers may not be hindered. So let's go back and start 7 all over. Husbands, likewise. Likewise what? Just like the ladies have their thing of loving and honoring and respecting and serving and being beside and doing and bringing this marriage into one as being one, just like. That's what likewise means. Likewise, all of that stuff I just told the wife. Likewise, dwell with them with understanding. That's consideration. Giving honor to the wife, loving her, making her feel special, building her up. If you're not building her up, I promise you're tearing her down. A silent word is just as bad as an ugly word. Do you get what I'm saying? To say nothing tears them down just like tearing them down verbally. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life. If you do this, if you honor your wife, if you lift her up, if you love her, if you love on her, there's a difference, guys. If you love her and if you love on her, by the way, the difference is to love her is all in here. To love on her is a physical act. It means actually doing something to show that you love her. And it doesn't mean, don't be like the guy where the lady says, you, goes to her husband and says, you never tell me you love me. And he says, I told you I loved you when we got married. If it ever changes, I'll let you know. Don't be that person. Love them daily. And he says, if you do that, your prayers won't be hindered. It's another promise of God that, listen, I will touch you, I will bless you, I will reach out to you, you will see my hand, you will feel my hand, you will experience me. But if you abuse your wife, husband, you are going to feel alone, you are going to feel deprived, you are going to ask, where is God? You are going to struggle, and then you are going to do silly things. You want your prayers answered? Understand this. Your prayers being answered is in direct correlation with the way you treat your wife. You might sit there and go, I'm not too sure about that. Yes, you are. You understand that. God makes that clear. So then the question is, what do I do? Wives, submit to your husband, to his authority. He's the head of the household. And you say, well, he doesn't do that job very well. God didn't say if, God just said to do it. Husbands, love your wives. Ephesians says to love your wives as Christ loved the church. And you say, well, she's not very lovable. God didn't say if, God said to do it. Because if you love her, that might change her being lovable. How have you treated your wife? Have you created the monster that's within? I'm just asking. What was she like when you married her? Because if she was a monster when you married her, then you're just an idiot. But if you loved her, and you adored her, and today you have a problem with her, go back and look at how you treated her. Because you may have changed her. Love one another. Fix your family. That's the first step. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. And Lord, as we talk about relationships and Lord, sometimes we just get caught up in us, and Lord, we make life harder on ourselves. Lord, we create situations that become so difficult. And yet, Lord, if we would just stop and surrender to you and surrender to the way you have called us to be, doing what we are supposed to do, the burden seems to drift away. Lord, I pray right now that each and every person, Lord, does their part in the household. Lord, that the wife would submit to the husband, respect him, love him, honor him, and serve him. And Lord, I pray that the husband does his part and respects her and honors her and loves her and serves her. Lord, help us to be the husbands and wives that we need to be. Lord, for the men, so that our prayers would not be hindered. And Lord, for the ladies, so that they would absolutely be complete in you and the husband. And then Lord, our children would see that and go out and seek those relationships rather than the abusive relationships that all too often happen today. Lord, I thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen.